Could we start the meeting, please?
Just a moment.
Okay. We'll start the meeting, please.
Good afternoon. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2013. The time is 4:22 p.m. We are in Function Room 6 of the International Beijing Hotel. This is the APRALO General Assembly meeting. Please go ahead and start your meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. And could we start with people who are AP here as members of AP RALO to just go around the table and identify yourself both to each other and to each other and to Matt. Starting from my left, thank you.
Would you please put on your headset? Because I'm going to speak Chinese.
Are you staying for this for a little bit? I don't mind. I need to get something.
Okay. Yishimen.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, welcome to Beijing. My name is Xue Hong. This is the first time that I could use my name in an IK meeting. It's a great pleasure to meet old and new friends. I represent the Chinese User Alliance. Its acronym is CDNUA. Thank you.
Sala.
Hi, I'm Salnieta Tamani Camaro and your AP RALO elected representative to the ALEC.
Hello, my name is Suhaidi Hassan and representing Aizawl Malaysia. Thank you.
Hello, Fawad Bajwa. I'm the co-vice chair of AP RALO, and I'm from the Internet Research Project Pakistan, formerly ICT Policy Monitor.
Hello, I'm Satish Babu from the Computer Society of India.
Izumi Aizu from Tokyo, one of the ALS Internet Users Network and former member of the ALEC, or interim ALEC.
Karatiana Toyota, New Zealand Maori Internet Society.
Ah, you can call him. Just in case you couldn't hear that name, it was KT.
Withrapu, Internet Society, Philippine Chapter.
Hi, I'm Emani Fosmanavalui, and I'm from Niue, representing the Internet User Society of Niue.
Hi, Paul Hunter from Cook Islands, representing Cook Islands Internet Action Group.
Kia ora, I'm Maureen Hilliard from representing at this meeting the Pacific Islands chapter of the Internet Society.
Carlton's not saying anything. Holly Raish, Internet Society of Australia.
Rinalia Abdulrahim, nominating committee selected representative from the region to the ALEC.
YJ Park from OSHA, Open Standards of Internet Association. By taking this opportunity, I really apologize for not showing up at the showcase yesterday. I told Shariel personally to deliver my apology, but I guess Shariel kind of forgot where I go. But anyway, my apologies.
Siranush Vardanyan, representing Armenian Association for the Disabled Punic, which means Phoenix, and also nomination committee member from AP RALO.
Leana Galustan, ISOKM. This is my first time meeting in ICANN, and I'm very excited and very glad to see all these people. Thank you.
In fear of the interpreters not understanding my broken Mandarin, I or you realizing who I am, Edmund Chung from ISOC Hong Kong.
Yeah, hi, this is Nirmal Agarwal. I'm from ISOC India. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Cheryl Langdon Orr. I've been somewhat absent from my normal ALAC and at-large and indeed AP Rallo duties because I'm currently serving as the chair-elect for the NOMCOM, and Tuesday is the roadshow where we go from room to room. There are a couple of places I actually haven't visited today, but I'm sure they're a very long way away. So I do apologise for being late. I assume it was just introduction or... Right, thank you.
Sorry, one more. Pavan Budrani, AP Rallo Secretariat. Thank you.
Thanks, Pavan. The first thing is to say I'm very glad that you're all... What?
Did we miss anyone, Hong?
Another large structure, local. This is a large China representative, Mr. Xu Chaoran. Let me convey his apologies. He's now at the meeting.
Thank you. The first objective of this meeting is for everyone to get to know everyone face-to-face. All too often we all hear each other's voices on the phone and don't actually know who we are, so this is an occasion where we can all say hello. And can also, I would suggest you've all got your little red packs. If you don't know about AP Rallo, please read about it. And I would also suggest tomorrow's workshop with Dev. Dev, put your hand up, even though you're not one of us. He's wearing his red thing, so he thinks he's one of us. But what he will be talking about is how we all communicate, the technology we use, how we inform each other about the policies and so forth. So it's going to be a very helpful tool for all of us to stay in touch after we sort of stop seeing each other face to face. Now with that, and I'm way over my 2 minutes since it's 4:30, the first agenda item that I will give Cheryl plenty of time to find something in the bag that she's... Her charger. What she was actually talking about, if you'll notice on the agenda, which you can't read, we're talking about what's on the agenda. The second item is Atlas. Now, this is not a Greek god that we are talking about. This is another acronym. This is the world of acronyms. It's the At-Large Summit. Now, we've had a little bit of discussion, and Satish is actually on the Finance Committee, so you're going to be running with this. It's the proposal to have an At-Large Summit in London in 2014. The advantage of these summits, and it's something that Olivia has talked about, is that at the At-Large Summit, all of us get to meet all the rest of us. So right now, this is just... AP Rallo, it's all of us at the at-large level talking to each other. And Cheryl, would you like to multitask? Cheryl thinks I'm going to stop.
This is Cheryl Langdon Orr for the transcript record taking over. So that's all right. That is my want. I had no problem reading the agenda, Holly, because it's in about 55 font in front of me because Matt's running the show here. So it isn't a problem at all. I had the honour and indeed the privilege to be, can I say, extensively involved. I think I can, seeing as I was the chair of the At-Large Advisory Committee at the time, with the first and hugely successful, for those at-large structures from Asia Pacific that weren't around at the time, it was a hugely successful event in Mexico 2009. Many of you were there, and many of you would see the benefit, as so many of us do, of having a second complete General Assembly of the combined at-large structures. The concept of these things somehow magically happening, and Holly referred to heroic godlike holding up of the earth as Atlas means in mythology, of course. It's pretty much what getting the planning and organising for this might be described as. If and when, and note my word of caution, if and when the finances and support were to be freed by the ICANN board and its Budget and Finance Committee, then we have got a fairly short time to plan what is a huge logistics and organisational. And notice they're two different things, logistics and organisational event. We want to, if and when Atlas 2 happens, have a good recognition that with probably up to 150 at-large structures in attendance, the return on the investment for this organisation will be palpable and it will be clear. And why I'm talking to you here at your General Assembly, I'm doing it for two reasons. In fact, I never do anything for one reason, do I, Matt? I don't even have lunch for one reason. One of my reasons, and that's the easy one, I'll get rid of that one first, is we must have more active and participatory ALS representatives. If you can't do it, do you have someone else in your ALS who can? Now, it doesn't all have to be you, but find us someone to join the organising committee as soon as possible, because prior planning prevents, insert the naughty word, poor performance, right? And because prior planning prevents, certain word, performance, right, we have already set up, and there's a wiki page and membership is open and there's a list and we've got lots of good things already happening. We want that to be regionally balanced, but there's already a fairly large contingent of Europe. I'm expecting the North Americans to bump theirs up to about five or six. We have two. Okay? Two. Number don't work. Two. Not good a number. Not good enough at all. So, I'm not including myself. I'm not acting as a regional representative, right? I need regional representatives. I'm just there to make the place look untidy and have some corporate memory, which I both do very well. Now, so that's the easy purpose. The other purpose is because of the return on investment. Pause your minds for a moment and rewind them. Back to the opening ceremony. Did you see a certain focus anywhere geographically of interest to us all? Perhaps. There's going to be significant expenditure going into our region. And we can either be part of it or we can be left behind. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the choice is ours. We have to, if supported, not just then disappear off into the wilderness. We have to be pre and post Atlas 2, if and when it happens, proactively involved at our regional level and, if you've got the resources, at your ALS level in the work of what an at-large structure is. Let's just revisit that for a moment. The work of the at-large structure is to act as a conduit of ICANN information out to the edge community of internet users that we need to act in the best interest of, and to being in a position to bring back, often in the way of comment on policy, but not just in the way of comment and policy, it can be in the way of attending a webinar, right? It shows interest, it shows participation. It's not all holding the pen on a piece of policy. But also to bring that opinion and comment back from those edges and into ICANN. And if you do the math on what you think it might cost to run an Atlas 2, we have to, and I believe we are capable of, give back more than the one-fifth of our share in that return of investment. I believe, properly galvanised, we as a region can show what you can do with the diversity we have. Because we have a very rare opportunity, very rare opportunity. And we are a counterpoint and balance. What have we got? is it 53 or 56 languages, primary languages, not without, you know, however many we had from you know, various sub-languages. I mean, it's a huge number of languages in our region, huge number of cultures, huge number of economic development positions, huge number of political diversity. We are the very definition of diversity, and we're often the only balancing part on this scale of... well, you know what I'm talking about. Views. So, should Atlas go ahead? And I sincerely hope it will. We need you, or someone you can tap on the shoulder, involved in the prior planning to prevent the insert word performance. And we need to make sure that you're ready to get your at-large structure to be clear on the return on investment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cheryl. Does anybody have any questions? And I'm sure that Cheryl would love to hear from you if you want to be involved. And if you don't want to be involved, she'll tap you on the shoulder, so don't worry. Is there... Salah?
Quick question. Just to clarify, Salah, for the record, the Atlas 2 that you were talking about, is this Atlas 2 London, or when you were talking about the thing that's being set up in Beijing...
No. I wasn't talking about the outreach office, sure, or the interaction office, right, point. I was talking about what is currently proposed to be held in London.
Okay.
Satish.
Thank you. I'm Satish Babu from the Computer Society of India. We have a problem of being very large. We're about 105,000 members right now. So we would like to know how we can kind of do this, you know, back and forth, you know, advocacy information exchange in such a large, you know, membership spread over a country like India.
If I may, that's such a good question, and not just for this forum here. This is something that we have to work through as we look at how the policy input from the edges has to happen. The wonderful world of at-large, specifically the at-large advisory committee, went through a whole review process recently, and part of what it did was produce some genuinely very clever flowcharts and documents. And I'm going to point to our acting man over there. Dave has, you know, single-handedly written more of these than I would ever want to dream about. There is a whole set of key point and opportunities. And so what that allows us to do is go or no-go on a number of things. We certainly would not expect everyone to input on everything. That is utterly ridiculous. There are some things that, because of your core business, you will have a very good idea on what your members' views are. There are other things which you may, because you should be able to see when things are coming up, wish to poll them. And in fact, in many cases, we can set up the resources and all you need to do is send out the information or the URL, because we realise that resources are not equal or equally accessible across all of our at-large structures. And while I have that on my mind, and I'm actually, my mind is another entirely different minefield, but a little thing that bubbled to the top just then as I was speaking, was the fact that with our at-large structures, every at-large structure either has or has the right to a page within our wiki, right? And to that end, if you want to link with whatever online presence you have, that's a very good way of polling or whatever we've set up, having access in a secure way to your membership. If we need an app for that, we'll get an app for that. And to be honest, the more and more apps we get, the better. I mean, I have my laptops and devices with me, but, you know, if my phone doesn't tell me what to do this week, I just won't do it because I need an app for that. So thank you. Perfect. You are absolutely terrific. On that page, there is a link to... It may not be 100% up to date, but if it's not, the magic will happen, won't it? A link to any ALS structure... That is an interface which is ICANN-owned, but you have control over. And if you wanted to run RSS feeds into that, out of that, any which way but loose, hit one of those. Oh, it's okay, you. That always looks. Oh, chat out. Yes. Yeah. Oh, he can do any of them. It should be a live link. There you go. That's better. The URL works. And that takes us to a little bit about the care and feeding. So even though it sits on our platform, the ICANN platform, it allows you to, well, not, it depends on, you know, what sort of back end you're running. You may not be able to have that much dynamic content change. This is dynamic content change. Does that help? Terrific.
Thank you. Now, Marcia, you had a question?
Yes, I wanted to ask whether it is still relevant to recommend someone who can really participate in this organizing effort, because I feel so sorry for not being that much proactively engaged with this organizing committee work before. So I think I have somebody in mind, Jeongbae An, who has been very good at this kind of the arranging the things, and who also have a lot of those different things. So, yeah, he can probably help getting involved with this organizing committee thing.
YJ, yeah. Thank you so much. Staff, Cheryl, for the record, I do apologize. Not for being Cheryl, but for not saying that it was Cheryl when I... You know what I mean. Yes, please. That would be excellent. Staff will grab his details. And just to go back to that briefly, remember this is not just logistics, it's organizational. There are all of the prep stuff needing to be done. There's the pre-surveys to be done. There's the what they need to learn, know and understand before they get there that needs to be done. There's the online wikis, pages, material sharing, agenda creation, you hear what I'm saying. There's a lot to do, and many hands, last time I checked, made lighter work. Go ahead, Sala.
Thank you, Cheryl. Sala, for the record, I'd also like to extend the invitation to all the ALSs to tomorrow's meeting at 8 to 9, where there'll be an informal meeting for the capacity working group, where we'll talk about some of the issues that Satish raised.
Not right now, thank you. Could we, sorry, but when we get to other business, I know, thank you. First of all, thank you, Cheryl. We've got the second item there is also, but I'm going to change it slightly. It's about AP Rollo and her rules of procedure. Now, we are so over time. This is supposed to be starting at 6 at 4:10 to 4:35, and of course it's 4:45. So I probably won't mention much of it, except to say that we, being the members of ALAC, have spent an enormous amount of time, unbelievable effort, and there are probably 75, if not 372 versions of the rules of procedure, which we finally settled on. I'm not going to even touch the subject now. But I would, one very important process for all of us is the election that is coming up. In fact, on April 9th, which is that today? I have no idea what today is. Just in case it is April 9, we have there's a four-week period in which there can be nominations, and for AP Rollo, there are three vacancies that are coming up. The first is for my good self, and that's the position of AP Rollo chair. The second is YJ's position as vice chair of AP Rollo, and the third, the secretariat, is coming up. I've got it here, sorry. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I love the power that's been given to me up until the 30th of June. Right. So there are at least two positions coming up. Now, the nomination period starts on April 9, whenever that is. It runs for 4 weeks. My understanding is we can nominate ourselves if we like, or someone can nominate us. Thank you. I wasn't sure. The deadline for acceptances, and you do have to accept the nomination if you're nominated,
is 10th of May, and then from May 17 to June 7 are the elections. They will obviously be done not in person. The elections begin no later than 1 week after the deadline, and it takes 2 weeks. So please keep in mind there are at least two vacancies. Now, Cheryl, just a question. Do I get to exercise my unbelievable power before I leave, if I leave?
Yes. The question is, should you be reappointed, one would hope you would accept a reappointment nomination. There is absolutely nothing, so everyone understands, absolutely nothing preventing a member of the At-Large Advisory Committee holding a leadership role within the regional at-large organisation. So let's be really clear about that.
Okay? What you should all know is Cheryl actually has written the rule book, memorised it, repeats it at night when she can't go to sleep.
Not just for you, but for the ALAC and all the other four regions.
And her husband also has memorised all of the rules. Sala.
Sala, for the record, whilst that may be recognised in the rule, I think it would be in the interest of the RALO, AP RALO, that the two are separate, that you can be in ALAC, but that there's room for others to participate in the RALO executive post. I note and I understand completely and totally the situation that led to your holding the two positions, and that's completely acceptable given the recent transition, but I think space should be given to others to participate too. Let that be on
the record. Cheryl here, absolutely. What I was pointing out is there is no impediment. And in fact, churn and diversity is fine, but if you give us crap, guess what we'll get back? Right? So change for change's sake is not to be supported, but we have excellent talent, and all talent should be given the opportunity to take leadership should they so desire, and that in itself is a specific question. These are not little roles. Look at this as more than a part-time job. Look at this at 28 hours plus per week. And unless you can commit that, you will be committing reputational suicide here. Because unless you manage to undertake what you say you'll do when you take on a leadership role, this organisation, ICANWIRE, has really long memories. So I want to caution people very carefully. Please put yourselves forward, but look at the job description. And if you can't do it, you're not going to get a free pass. Thank you. I don't want to touch it. It's going to bite me.
And she'll read the rules at you if you're not careful. She'll just tell. She doesn't have to read them anymore. She's written them. Sirnish.
Just for being clear, can we renominate current people who are holding? Okay, thank you.
No, yet the cleaners, Naralo, isn't it? thank you. Right, the AP RALO cleaner. All right, let us move on from the process, which is where we should be anyway. Now, Sirnush, Nomcom activities. It's over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sinanush Vardanyan, for the record. So. I will have this chance to not to use 15 minutes because we have not too much time. I will be brief, but because you have already the information from nomination committee just a couple of hours ago. But I will briefly describe the changes which are taking place and the process, the current situation. So many of you know that because of some complaints for the previous nomination committee's work and related to confidentiality, a lot of changes has been executed during this current nomination committee. So, and one of that changes is starting from Toronto. After Toronto meeting, we started to record our calls, our meetings, and sending those report cards to our relevant constituencies. And I hope that you were getting through AP RALO mailing list all updates from nomination committee and I was glad and happy to see that it was mentioned that changes are vital and evident. So, also, we now, for the first time ever, we hold open meeting during Beijing meeting. So today at 5 o'clock we will have an open meeting, which by nomination committee. So you will have chance to ask questions again if you have. So please, from 5 to 6. Come there. It's room 5BC.
Don't come there.
Oops. So, and then also I would like to quote just a new article posted one of nomination committee members that we are looking for bringing new blood into the ICANN universe, which otherwise might be in serious danger of sclerosis. So, so we are looking for to see very good candidates, and I would like to emphasize that this time there is open position from AP Rallo, ELAC leadership position. So I would like to all of you to spread the word in your region, in your countries, and if you find a person who is really very good, can be presented on behalf of ELAC, please ask them to apply. And the deadline is May 1st. For details, what kind of criteria we are looking for, you will go to NOMCOM ICANN.org site, and there also you can find information how much outreach we did prior to Beijing, and also we will have probably an update after Beijing meeting. Again, there is a mailing list and information posted on the website, so I will not go through that. And selections will be announced in early September 2013. Successful candidates will take up their positions following ICANN's annual meeting in November 2013. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask. Thank you.
And just a word for those who do not know what NOMCOM is, I'm not going to take up time, but please go to the website, and if you hit groups and then you hit NOMCOM, they actually have an explanation for what these are. And Cheryl, if you've got 2 minutes.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdon-Nor, for the record. That's not the top. Well, it is vaguely the topic. I didn't want to define NOMCOM, but anyone walking around with these red lanyards on is one, and the job of us is to be veiled up by you and grilled and talked to and interacted with. But on interaction, what I wanted to point out, and I wanted to thank Sirinush very much for what she's just said and done, but I wanted you all, because what she does is represent you all on the NOMCOM, to recognise her for what I can honestly say is an exceptional job as your representative. And I actually am going to be upstanding and say how very proud I am of her work. I'm also able to say that whilst she is not the exception, what I've just said is not the rule. Now, that said, Sirinush will be completing her second term at the end of this year. So look to her, look to the work she has done, and done you proud. Let me say it again, done you very proud as AP representative. The ALAC will be asking us, whilst it appoints, it will ask us our opinion and for any good names we would like to put forward. That's all we get to do. Say, listen, the cleaner I met at Beijing International University would be perfect, but right, it doesn't have to be you, me, sitting around the table. It can be just a member of the ALS. You see what I mean? It's just someone who has got the ability and the commitment, right? And then those names will be considered by the At-Large Advisory Committee. But it's the At-Large Advisory Committee that appoints, but they appoint for our region. Clearly, they would like to know from us if we've got any talent. So you've got between now and, are you calling in August or September, Mr. Chairman? Okay. August, I hope. It would be nice if it would be around August.
I've been advised August.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. August is a good year, good month, for these names to come forward. So think between now and then, and you can self-nominate if you so desire. But also, and this is something I've said in every room today, well, not every room, I don't think I said it in this room, if you've got someone in your network, in your extended network, who is at the CEO or chief level in corporations, not-for-profits, NGOs, etc., in particular, they would be extremely valuable. Because as the standards required for who we need to network with and reach out to for things like the board position gets ever, ever, ever more up to the next echelon, we need people with those right networks as well. So if you happen to know even a retired, you know, Hong Kong, Singapore bank person would do me, you know, that's fine too, okay? They don't have to just be young, although the sclerosis is an issue. But we've got plenty of wheelchairs and we've got plenty of walking sticks and we will be fine. But we do want those names, and very, very shortly. Thank you. I'm not going to touch it.
Sirinush would like the final word.
Yes, Sirinush Vardanyan, for the record. Just want to say that I'm really very proud to represent you in nomination committee, and thank you, Cheryl, for supporting during the whole process. One last point I would like to remind all of you. There is a change of ICANN nomination booth from first floor to the second floor, and there are documents available there in all six languages. Please, take them. And there is a detailed information what kind of positions are opened, and you can take those back to your countries and disseminate. Thank you.
Thank you, Sirinush. I think you've got about 2 minutes to go to whatever meeting is you're going to. Okay, now what we've got 1 hour, and I would like most of that to be going over the issues that, in fact, probably we should be going over in terms of what we do, what the issues are in front of us. Primarily those issues are IDNs, new GTLDs, and then the RAA negotiations. Those are the things that have been occupying ALAC and all of the RALOs for some time. We are very lucky to have Edmund here because it's really hard to find to pin him down. But if you can explain, and the other person who's becoming an expert, and pick up some of the issues that were raised yesterday at the multi-stakeholder meeting. If the two of you, between you, about 20 minutes to talk to the issue, and then for those of you who don't know what IDNs are or don't know the implications of them or just plain have questions, we'll spend a bit of time with questions. This is perhaps the most important part of today. Edmund, go ahead.
Thank you, Holly. And as you already mentioned, actually, we're very glad to have Rinalia join us and becoming an IDN expert. You can say you're not, but you are. So I guess I'm seeing a few new faces around here, just to talk a little bit about, just to make sure we know what IDNs are. It's internationalized domain names, and basically domain names in different languages. Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Indic languages, Arabic. So I think this is certainly one of the issues that are that these should be of high interest for this group, as we because it is one of the tools and that is relevant at ICANN that would help us reach out to the many users who are not able to navigate the internet in their own language, and this is the sort of technological breakthrough, and that would allow that. But at ICANN, I guess the important aspect would be how the policies would impact users. And right now, there after, I guess, 15 years of development of IDNs, we are really at the verge of seeing IDNs in the root system of the DNS. We're seeing new GTLDs, new IDN generic top-level domains, and also IDN ccTLDs. IDN ccTLDs, of course, have already happened, and IDN GTLDs are just about to happen. So as users start to see these new top-level domains in their own languages, a few things I think will happen. First of all, they might not even know it's a domain name, so they're not used to seeing it in their own language. So there is an educational aspect that needs to go out, to make sure that people know that the world is not just about .com and their own ccTLD. And so this is one area that is important for IDNs, I think, and it's relevant for this particular community. Related to that is what in the ICANN world is called universal acceptance of top-level domains or acceptance of TLDs. And the reason that is related is, as I mentioned, humans might not even realize that it is a domain name. Machines also have a tendency to choke on these new top-level domains, especially if they are in a different language. And I guess that can be appreciated. Different databases, different infrastructure systems may have an impact and may not be able to recognize the top-level domain. For example, if you register your profile at some social network like Facebook, you may not be able to use, actually I don't want to single out them, but anyway, some database that you put your domain name in, they might not be able to handle IDNs or IDN TLDs. So this is a direct issue that is within ICANN's, ICANN's purview and should work on. And again, from AP Rallo, I think this is definitely one of the areas that we should pay attention to and where appropriate, make comments and make contributions to. From there, it leads me to a couple of other policy aspects that I think ICANN and AP Rallo should pay attention to in terms of IDNs and these domain names in your native language. First of all, is related to that is the user experience of this of IDNs as they get implemented. And there is an ongoing effort from a board-initiated team that is looking into user experience of IDNs, but more specifically on what is called IDN variants. And for those of you who don't know what IDN variants is, the one that I'm most familiar with is Chinese. And in Chinese, there are two two different ways of writing the same character. One is in traditional Chinese version, one is in simplified Chinese version. And the latter is used here in mainland China and in Singapore. The former, the traditional Chinese, is more generally used in Hong Kong, Taiwan, Macau, and some of the places. So what happens is that in the technology, these two forms of Chinese names are considered two different domain names in the technology layer, if you will. And what IDN variants are is essentially trying to say, okay, because users really see these two domain names as one, we need to handle this at a policy level, and we're trying to make the two domain names act or at least be given to the same registrant or the same registry to operate so that no confusion, so that to reduce the user confusion. But by doing that, there are ripple implications as well, as you can imagine, because technically there are two different domains. So when you set up your name servers, when you set up your web hosting servers, when you set up your email servers, there is implications. So you will have to set up two rather than one, for example. This is a very simplified version of it because I'm trying to give a high-level view of this. So this is, again, and this is not only about the Chinese language. This type of issue happens with other languages as well, Indic languages, Arabic languages, where certain characters either are interchangeably used or are confusable or, you know, due to keyboards or other reasons may cause user confusion, and they are being handled in a policy that called IDN variants. And that brings me to the third item, which is the IDN variant itself. So, and the board initiated team is also looking at how to implement IDN variants at the top level, at the root level. And what that means is that in the past 15 years that IDNs have started to be developed, the IDN registration policies like IDN variants have been implemented at various registries in different flavors, let's put it that way. And when we go to the top level, that needs to be somehow consolidated. There needs to be a consistency across different TLDs because the root zone is a shared resource, and therefore a lot of the effort has been done on consolidating the previous efforts into an implementable set of policies at the root level. And that has culminated to what is now being called the label generation rule set. And the label generation rules essentially is an attempt to consolidate the experience. That is an ongoing process, and a report is out. I won't get into the details of that, but these three initiatives I think are currently perhaps the most relevant and hopefully relevant for the community as well. So first of all, the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Secondly, the user experience and recommendations from that. And thirdly, the IDN variant policy implementation at the root. So with that, I probably confused everyone, and hopefully Rinalia will save me and clarify or add to it.
Thank you, Rinalia, for the transcripts. I think Edmund explained that really well, and basically he described what the high-level priorities are, and so the policy points that the community should be focusing on is the IDN variant at the root level issue, which we had an AP RALO roundtable discussion yesterday, and then there's the user implication of active variant TLDs, and that is one of the things that we're going to be discussing at the IDN working group on Wednesday. And a long-term IDN strategy. I would encourage those ALSs who are interested in this particular area to join the IDN working group. We tend to be reactive in the sense that when ICANN puts out a report and it wants to have comments, we react to that. But if we have something that we want to be proactive upon, we can certainly get organized and do that as well.
And besides our new found expert in IDN, of course, we have another pioneer expert in IDN within our group from Hong Sui as well. So please add to what. And we might need to put our headsets on.
but this is a complicated issue. I agree to present in English. But after listening to two experts, I guess every one of us is crystal clear about everything on IDN. I want to make the things more complicated. I want to insert a new dimension, not that technical, very simple. We are using character trademarks every day. So I want to talk about variants and trademark protection. I've never been a fan of ICANN's trademark protection measure in the new GTLD program. In the early day, I strongly protest ICANN introduced these things. But these measures are now in place. Now something happened. It seems that ICANN newly released requirement on right protection measures, RPM, a document released 2 days ago, attempt to sacrifice the IDN trademarks from the trademark clearinghouse system. This is so unfortunate. Let me put it this way. It cannot be explained easily. I try hard to do this. Trademark clearinghouse is a trademark database. Like Coca-Cola, you submit your information to the clearinghouse, and all the new GTLD will be able to retrieve your information, decide we reserved Coca-Cola dot anything in the new namespace in the sunrise period. But according to the new implementation details, the trademark clearinghouse is not going to recognize any variance rules. This is not the fault of the clearinghouse because ICANN has not yet drafted any variance policy. So, of course, the clearinghouse operator as the provider cannot create its own policy. So the consequence will be this. This is especially serious for Chinese community. There's many people here. I have colleagues from my LIS. They are here. They are very interested. They don't know how to do with it. It means that if I am the Coca-Cola's Chinese version is Coca-Cola, I only registered a simplified version in China. I haven't registered the traditional version. It means I can only apply the simplified Chinese version to the clearinghouse. The clearinghouse would not think about there is a traditional version. In that case, dot anything, the new GTLD operator will only take care of the simplified version trademark. In that case, for Sunrise, if somebody attempts to register the traditional form, there's no way to prevent this very serious cyber scouting. It means that the clearinghouse is totally useless for Chinese character trademarks. So what kind of mechanism this is? I can't ever think of this. I raised this issue 2 years ago. Edmund is an expert. He's a pioneer. I know I'm older than him. He implies younger than me. But this is a very serious situation. I don't think I'm crazy about trademark protection to enhance IPR protection. I'm not nothing about that. What I'm talking about, the user confusion. You think about trademark is very important social functionism to identify the source of goods and services. Well, think about what would happen if the same string, only in different, variants, will be registered by two different domain name holders, by two different trademark holders. Can you think about scenario of the simplifying Coca-Cola is registered by Coca-Cola and traditional Coca-Cola is registered by Pepsi? There will be very serious public confusion. I want to raise this issue. I want to repeat it 1,000 times to what I can get it fixed. If I can really serious about the IDN and its implementation. But unfortunately, this is only an implementation document. It's not even a policy. So there's no way to intervene. Sorry.
No. Thank you. Thank you, Hong, for...
Hong, yeah, I was saying slow down.
I'll come to you. But... Hong, I think you bring up a very good point, and with the amount of energy you're putting into what you were saying, I think it really brings me to perhaps ask Olivier here as well whether ALAC should bring this up, and ALAC advice could be for any aspect. It doesn't have to be policy. ALAC can certainly make advice on implementation. Am I correct?
First of all, Renalia has been banging my elbow saying she'd like to talk. And Sala, after that,
This will give Olivier time to actually digest the Coca-Cola. He's not digesting very well. Renalia, go ahead.
Thank you, Holly. Renalia for the transcripts. Hong, this issue was raised by Zahid Jamil yesterday in our panel on new GTLDs and consumer protection, and I'm very glad that you are raising it here in this forum for the ALSs. It is very important, and I think it would be responsible of us to actually raise the issue. And given that the ALEC can provide advice to the board and to ICANN at any time, I would suggest that we prepare a statement that can be forwarded to the ALEC. And we don't have to ask the chair in terms of whether or not it is possible. It is possible, and we should just do it. Thank you.
Sala and then Olivier.
Sala for the transcripts. Hong, I have a question for you. So what do you propose is the solution? Should there be a trademark clearinghouse, particularly for IDN characters? And if so, are you foreseeing that there may be it may be necessary to sort of, I'm not saying stop, like create an estoppel, like to sort of suspend certain things in order to implement the IDN potential IDN trademark clearinghouse. And I'm not trying to limit or restrict you or to sort of corner you, but I'm just trying to find out what in your mind is the solution.
Can I respond to this? Well, thank you very much. This is exactly two fantastic points I want to raise. And first of all, I want to raise this is very much urgent, timely things. ICANN is now urging the first batch of IDN-TLD to conclude the agreement on 20th of April, so 3 weeks away. And in that agreement, RA, in that RA, there is a specification about treatment clearinghouse, so all these are the new GTLD operator are required to use the clearinghouse as delegated by ICANN, and that one does not care about variants, I put it that way. The second point is that can have a special clearinghouse, very good thinking, well, open-minded. The issue is that if we look at that document, the famous one on implementation details, it says that the registry can, of course, has its own bundling policy. There's only bundled, simplified, and traditional. That's at your discretion. The only problem is that you can only do that after sunrise. So what is the point to do that after sunrise? It's being cyber-squatted. It's being registered already. Okay. Oh, sorry. Should I speak in Chinese? I can slow down. all right. So it seems that ICANN is now open for any additional extra community-based clearinghouse, unfortunately.
Just adding on to what Hong said and then responding to Sala's question is that technically, at least, it is possible for the Trademark Clearinghouse to handle variants. They have decided not to. They have not provided any reasons for it, obviously. And when the whole process of the Trademark Clearinghouse was brought about, this is not something that is unknown, and registries would have variant policy. So I don't. I think it is certainly timely that we should put something together and urge them to implement.
Sorry, we were just talking about how to actually take the action and what to do. So I'll hand over to Olivier. Olivier is next, and he can respond to the call for action.
Thank you very much. It's Olivier Crapanoblou for the transcript record. I was just going to read you Article 11, Section 2, 4A of the ICANN bylaws. The At-Large Advisory Committee, ALAC, is the primary organizational home within ICANN for individual Internet users. The role of the ALAC shall be to consider and provide advice on the activities of ICANN insofar as they relate to the interests of individual Internet users. This includes policies created through ICANN supporting organizations, so that's policy there, as well as the many other issues for which community input and advice is appropriate. The ALAC, which plays an important role in ICANN's accountability mechanisms, also coordinates some of the ICANN's outreach to individual Internet users. So in that article, we can comment on everything and anything that is ICANN-related, And I would suggest that if there is consensus in this community to place a comment, you would indicate to the ELAC that you wish to do so. You should produce a comment as soon as possible, and that should then be circulated to the ELAC mailing list, and the ELAC would be able to vote on it on its Thursday wrap-up, and that would be submitted to the board before the end of this meeting.
You have to draft it, Hong.
So could I ask Hong and Edmund, between the two of you, could you draft a paragraph or two, circulate it on the list, and we will all vote, we can vote on it, and then it can go to the board. Okay? Does that... Edmund, go ahead.
Olivia, do you want to jump in first? Or?
Yes, thank you very much, Edmund. It's Olivia again. And I would recommend that in order to have a higher chance of the ALAC being able to vote on it, having read it and understood it, because these are IDN matters and not everyone on the ALAC is very well versed on the IDN matters, you would draft this as soon as possible, perhaps translate this as today. And so in the next few days, if anyone has any questions to ask, they could ask members of this community, specific members of this community, for further information before voting. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivia. Actually, I was going to say today as well, because tomorrow we have the IDN working group meeting, which we should immediately take this on board and talk a little bit more on this, since this is emerging as an urgent issue.
Could I suggest maybe draft something, circulate it, but at the same time, there may be something that comes out of tomorrow's meeting. So perhaps a report back saying the meeting has changed everything, the meeting has changed nothing, it is more urgent or whatever. But I would suggest you and Hong forget the cocktail party with the board and start writing now.
I thought there was Hong holding the pen.
Don't worry, Hong's holding the pen. Thank you very much for volunteering.
Oh, yes, the Chinese version is done. I can simply translate it in English. That's okay, yeah.
Old characters are new. Thank you. The next item, which theoretically is not going to be quite as contentious, but may well turn out to be quite as contentious. The new GTLD is now... There's no name against this. I certainly held the pen for part of this issue. There were a couple of parts to the issue, but perhaps we better have a little bit of background first for new GTLDs. Does anybody not know what a new GTLD is? You don't have to put your hand up, just kind of nod quietly. Right, I've got a couple of expressions going, oh my God. That means... The new generic top-level domains, up until now there have been a very limited number of generic top-level domains. There's been, you know, .com, .net, whatever. These have been opened up in a process that started probably about 8 years ago. There's been a lot of work done, a lot of processes. Where we're up to now is applications have been made. There were something like, 1,900? Several have been withdrawn. A lot of objections have been raised on various grounds. Certainly, actually, Dev, you are sitting there, and he can talk far more knowledgeably than I about new GTLDs. There has been an objection process, which Dev has pretty much run. One of the objections... that was raised by the Government Advisory Committee was people will apply for a new GTLD saying, we're going to do this wonderful thing, we're going to use this name in order to promote X, Y, and Z. And in fact, they do something completely different. So one of the issues raised was if people make commitments about the way that they're going to use this new GTLD, how do we hold them to it? Because there's a process of objecting to new GTLDs based on applications. So if there isn't a way for the person who eventually gets the new GTLD to in some way hold them to the commitments they've made, then in fact all of the the objections that might have been made haven't been made because people read, well, they're going to do this and this is wonderful. So as part of the response to those issues, what was come up was called PICS. This is another acronym, the Public Information Commitment. In public interest commitment, here we have a wonderful term, public interest commitment, whereby the applicant has to identify within their application those elements that they are wanting to commit to in terms of if they get the if their application is successful, they will commit to doing the following things that they have put in their application anyway. Now, we originally raised some issues with PICS when it came to looking at the actual compliance program for PICS. We raised even more objections. I'm not going to go into all the details, but we have some issues with both what parts of the application, if any, the original applicant identifies as the things they want to be held to account for, and then the whole process of how are those PICS commitments enforced. Now, Dev is the person who probably made the mistake listening in, even though he's not one of us, although he is one of us. Do you want to fill us in? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeevan Antilak Singh, for the transcript record. Holly, I was focusing on something else on responding, so I have to admit I missed the question. Can you please repeat it?
The objection process, what we've done with the objection process.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, well, the ALAC has a process that was the ALAC voted on in at the Costa Rica meeting. As per the applicant guidebook, the ALAC provision was given to the ALAC for filing objections, and we developed a process by which we could have done so. The process called for a consideration of comments from the at-large community, a consideration by the RALOs, and then the approval by the ALAC. So it required, in other words, it was not simply just the ALAC alone having the ability to file objections. It had to be a demonstration of a process that integrated all of that input. So the process was the process was launched, and essentially it was comments were accepted from the at-large community up until January 15th, 2013. And then the review group, which is coordinate, looked at the comments and was going to decide, based on the comments received, whether the comments received raised either a limited public interest or community objection grounds. And, we received several comments on dot Amazon. Well, I can go into the strengths. Dot Amazon, dot Patagonia, dot NYC. There was comments on multiple strings by RJ Glass. A comment on dot Africa, and then subsequent within a week, comments on the applications for dot Health. The review group then looked at all of the comments received, and as the days went on, there were more comments added by the at-large community. Ultimately, though, the review group, based on the information received, it decided that none of these applications raised any limited public interest concerns. And in terms of the community objection grounds, there are four criterion by which community objections can prevail. There were the community, whether there was substantial opposition, whether there was targeting, and there was a fourth criterion, which is detriment. And these had to be demonstrated and sustained in order for the community objection to prevail. And it had to be all four had to pass. In other words, if one could not be proven, then the objection could not be sustained. So the review group went through and ranked all of the factors, and ultimately the applicants for Dot Health were deemed that it met, the review group felt that enough information was provided that that the community objection could be sustained. The statement was drafted and then released to the regional at-large organizations. So there were five applications. Well, there were five applications for Dot Health, although one of the strings initially was IDN, and there was some confusion about this because the characters could have either been interpreted as translated as either health or healthy. Ultimately, we published them all five objection statements, and the realos then considered those statements. The IDN, and I'm not going to pronounce it because I'm going to totally mispronounce it. It was from the applicant Stapleton Limited. Did not pass that IDN, and so the ALAC then looked at the four objection statements, and the ALAC ultimately reviewed the advice, reviewed all of the comments, and then when the ALAC voted, it voted to file objections on three of the applicants for Dot Health, and this was done before the deadline. I think that summarizes it in a nutshell. Thanks.
Thanks, Dev. The other part of the objections that were raised, and it was for those of you who did not attend the stakeholder meeting yesterday, there was a fair bit of discussion about compliance, about how ICANN's compliance unit is going to monitor compliance. Now, this was an issue that's also been raised by ALAC with the board and with compliance, and we have expressed some disquiet. The compliance area has said to ALAC when we have said, how are you going to monitor the fact that you've got, 1,900 new ALSs, new GTLDs, and they've all made some commitments about what they're going to do. What the actual scheme that has been released suggests is that there be a separate process of compliance, that it be done by a third party, and that if there's an objection, there must be some kind of material harm that is advocated. We have suggested that probably, number one, it's going to be difficult to raise objections. Number two, the monitoring, if you have monitoring not by compliance, who does it? Compliance has said, well, these are, it's 1,900 names. We don't have the staff to monitor. So we've actually put in, we have, and I suggest you read the wiki, which Dev will show you how to get to. We have looked at the whole structure of compliance by the applicants with their own public interest commitments. We're fairly unhappy with how that's going to work. So I suggest actually you read the comments that I think Alan has drafted. And I would have to say, after both yesterday's meeting at the multi-stakeholder meeting and at the board meeting today, I'm not sure that our objections have been addressed. Well, how would you add to that? Anyway, I suggest you read it. Moving right along. Yeah.
Hi, this is Rinalia for the transcripts. In addition to what Holly had said, I just wanted to make a comment about the public interest commitment. And I'm not sure if you're aware, when the email was sent to our regional APAC discuss, and I'm not sure if you all received it as ALS, saying that, hey, the region has to consider whether or not there should be an objection, and the RALO should give their advice to the ALAC in terms of whether or not the ALAC should be objecting. We received
not a lot of feedback. There were only a few of us who actually interacted, and I would understand that perhaps it's a new topic and you're not sure, and that's perfectly fine because it takes quite a bit of time to actually understand what's going on. But the introduction of the public interest commitment was a bit dodgy in terms of timing, and I personally was really upset about it because the RALOs did not get a chance to consider the public interest commitment in their consideration of the objection. So when the RALO looked at it and gave their advice to the ALAC, they didn't factor the public interest commitment. But when it came to the ALAC level to decide, they looked at the regional advice, then they had to figure out whether or not they will factor the public interest commitment. And I'm one of those people who said I would not consider it because it's very weak in mechanism, and the enforcement is not strong enough, and there is no guarantee that the public interest will actually be taken care of. And of course, the ALAC was sort of like split on this, and this is why out of three out of four dot health, one got away, and three went forward for objection. And so that is the situation. And this is just sort of like a comment to say there are nuances, that there is also politics in terms of how we deal with these issues, and it's interesting to get involved into it. Back to you, Holly.
Thank you, Renalia. Are there any questions? And before I go any further, I've noticed there's some new faces, new ALSs, who will not have identified themselves when we started. Now, has everybody basically said who they are? And are there any ALS representatives in back that I should notice?
I'm sorry, I was a little late. I came at 5 o'clock, so I did not introduce myself.
Thank you.
Siva Subramanian. I'm from ISOC India Chennai ALS. We became an at-large structure 2 years ago. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, Holly, let me introduce Jack Chu, my colleague at CDAOA. Please stand up and say hello to us. Yeah.
Hello, Jack.
I have many other colleagues present here, but they're not in this room. Sorry.
Yeah, and Yanis from Navajo Nation. Sorry for
that. Yanis, can you put your name in?
This is Yanis from NatMission for Transcript.
Thank you. Okay. Now, are there any questions? Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, this is Joseph from ISOC Hong Kong.
Thank you and welcome. Samuel?
I'm Samuel Martirosyan from Armenia, from Media Education Center.
Thank you. Just wondered.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's important that we actually record who attends the General Assembly. So, thank you.
Okay.
Are there any further questions on the issues surrounding the it's the PICs, what that was the main issue, but the new GTLDs? And once again, I would suggest to those of you who are not familiar, the policy page for At Large has a lot of explanation on it, and you can read the various comments that have been made, which are a reflection of the sort of discussion that's been held in terms of what the various members of ALAC and AP RALO have had. There we go. Thank you, Matt. That's exactly what you all need to look at a lot. You will... Heidi.
Holly, this is Heidi. Thank you. Would you like Matt to show everyone how to get to that?
Yes. Would everybody, a quick lesson in how to get there. Okay.
Okay. This is Matt for the record. So the first thing you'd want to do is go to the standard wiki address, which is community.icann.org. And once that loads, I'll proceed. So then you just click At Large, or you can scroll down, and underneath At Large, there is the At Large Policy Development tab. So you will click that, and you're taken directly to the Policy Development page, which is essentially a list of everything that is currently open, as well as a record of closed statements It includes statements that we've done and that we haven't. So this way there's a record of, do we actually know if we did something or not? Can we go back? What was the vote? What is that statement number? Who was the staff member responsible? What region was the person from who wrote the thing? So this is also a good way to check if you're missing anything, if you need to stay on track with the policy development process.
Thanks, Matt. Very useful. And in fact, all of the comments about the PICTS compliance process, about IDNs, there's a lot about IDNs as well. I'm not going to worry. The final topic, which scares me because essentially it's about who is, and Carlton's just shown me an email saying that everything that we've had to say may be thrown completely in chaos, and I'm not happy. So we're going to run down what we think this issue's about, only to find out that it may not be about that. Carlton, do you want to talk about, even though you're not one of us? He doesn't want to talk about it. I will. You've missed your chance. And by the way, the final item there, wikis, website, and mail lists, are something that, please go to the tech session tomorrow. Dave is going to stop wincing. The guy that's grimacing is the one who's going to tell everybody how to actually stay in touch with what's going on. So stop grimacing. Who is... is there anybody who was not here earlier this afternoon when I probably bored everybody rigid with what who is? I think everybody was here. No? Right. Who is part of a larger issue, which is the contract between registrars and ICANN. Who is refers probably to the set of data that registrars must both collect and then display about each registrant, the registrant being the domain holder, the domain name holder. There's a lot of data in terms of the person, their contact details and so forth that must be displayed. And one of the major issues has always been who is accuracy. There are a number of reasons why who is accuracy is important. First of all, I think from the law enforcement perspective, if somebody is misusing a domain name, how to basically get a hold of the miscreant. But it's also important in terms of for business purposes, for trademark purposes, to settle trademark disputes. If you are a consumer, you want your only contact is through a domain name from buying, purchasing. How do you get a hold of somebody, which is somebody who you may need to get in touch with in relation to what online product or service you're buying? There are a number of quite legitimate reasons why who is information is important. So the inaccurate who is information has a number of impacts on the end user. It's been a debate for a long time. There are specific provisions in that what we call the RAA, the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, in terms of both the provision of of the information itself and about the requirements on registrars to ensure data accuracy. What's been happening over the last couple of years have been negotiations on updating that contract, including some very significant strengthening of the requirements for the registrars to check the accuracy of the data, to update the accuracy of the data, and to actually define what it means, what obligations the registrar has in terms of checking the accuracy of the data. It's been something that has occupied a lot of the time of Carlton and myself. A lot of the documents that were released a few weeks ago, probably 400 pages of reading that a few of us have done, are about who is accuracy. And I would strongly urge you to go to the policy page if you're interested, because there are links to about 10 documents, all of which are important. The most important ones are probably the accuracy specification, which is the steps that must be taken to ensure the accuracy of the data. Another is about privacy and proxy, because if you're displaying personal information of an individual, it has privacy implications. So how does somebody protect their privacy balanced against the legitimate needs of some of various bodies to get access to that information? I don't know. Do you want to talk a little bit about the work you've done in the group, and then you can read the email, which might mean that all of this has been for naught?
The email. This is Carlton Samuels for the record. As Ali has pointed out to you, we've been working in tandem on this whole Who Is matter. It has a history to it. And if you look at the policy page, you will see, go back and see all the ELAC statements that are associated with the Who Is. It is very important for you to understand why this record. And Salah said something this morning I'm going to refer to, because I think it's important. And it's this that you might see some movement to the Who Is. The fact is that governments around the world, because of the need to tax online commerce and some of the moves towards taxing online commerce. And thank you, Salah, for bringing that into the mix, because you probably will see a lot more movement now, given this need for governments to begin taxing online commerce. And one of the ways that they identify the infrastructure that is used for commerce, which is the domain name, the website, is by tracking Who Is records. And so it is very important to them now to have accurate Who Is records and so on. The RAA, which is the contract, the Who Is record, which is when you register domain name, you have to give some personal data as a way of ensuring that you know we know who you are and so on. This development in the RAA 2013 has come a long way. There's been some improvements. Ali mentioned the one about accuracy, and we have to wait and see how that is enforced. And, of course, there's the business of the privacy and proxy registrations. The privacy proxy registration is very important to us because of what it means in the second part of the requirement for Who Is, which is the public display of the Who Is record. The current policy says that you must collect Who Is data, and there are very specific pieces of data that you must collect at the registration point. And then the registrar is compelled, is covenanted by the contract to display it publicly. And they even define how you must display it. You have to go through what is called a port 43 service or on an interactive website. And if there are proxy privacy registrations, the new specification for privacy proxy registration should at least retain some measure of how an ordinary internet user could find out who owns a website. We're not saying that the data is going to be available directly publicly displayed, but there must be some way for you to contact the person that is owns the website. So that is very key to us. What Ali just mentioned is that we're working right now on a cross-community working group in what is called a PDP, a development, a policy development process with the GNSO, under the GNSO. And what we're doing is to figure out the new regulations say that all new GTLDs will be so-called thick registries. And I won't go into distance between disconnect between thick and thin registries, except to say that the corpus of data that must be kept by a so-called thick registry is more than that it is kept by a thin registry. And that's enough to get into the detail. And some of us believe that it is a best thing for you to have all registries, especially new GTLD, should be thick registries. And even the existing thin registries should be converted eventually to thick registries. So we have a process now we're going through, and we're trying to figure out what are the implications of the movement from thin to thick. And we are asked to answer some explore some specific questions. Is there more risk involved? Is there data privacy issues that are heightened? Is there more cost involved, and so on? So we have a working group doing that, and we just had a note that says maybe what we are doing there is overcome by events, because the RAA 2013, it seems that there might be full agreement on the RAA 2013. In one sense, it would be good, but because we have not yet explored the range of issues surrounding the privacy proxy specifications, especially, and the accuracy specifications, it might be problematic for us. This is what Holly was referring to as making her very upset. Yes.
Samuel Martirosyan, for the record. About accuracy in records. I can understand that usually inaccuracy coming from a mess which is on the side of registrar. Yeah, they have no time, they don't want to go deep, etc., etc. But what can you do in the cases when it is conscious cheating? So someone wants to register as another man. So I know a lot of cases that people are using scans of passports from hacked emails. So I think the only way is to ask everyone to make a photo with his ID card and to send to registrar. Otherwise, I think accuracy is becoming, in any case, a little bit so foggy, let's say. Thank you.
I think you're right about that. There's a distinction to be made between accuracy and validity of the record. And there are ways you can get a record that is accurate in every aspect, in every respect. The name is right, it's a legitimate name. Then the address is right, it's a legitimate address. But it isn't valid because that person who is associated with those data points was not the person who actually registered the domain name. So there's a validation. The accuracy specification speaks to a set of validation routines that must be accomplished by the registrar. And what we are seeking to do is to make sure that they are robust enough to reduce that possibility that you could have a record that is accurate in every aspect but invalid. So there's a way to deal with that, and there are several. These are not new, by the way. And any organization that has connected personal record data, we have loads of different routines that we have instituted to attempt to validate records.
Carlton, there's one comment on the chat.
This is Matt Asciani for the record. This question comes from Murray McCreacher. Murray asks, I've seen that Alan Greenberg seems very active in Who Is activity. Is this accurate?
This is Carlton Samuels for the record. For what it's worth, Alan has been active in Who Is record for as long as I can remember. I don't believe I've ever initiated a statement on Who Is for the ALAC or written one that at some point I did not consult with Alan. And then the reason for that is Alan is our GNSO liaison. And when you take an ALAC position that has to be ratified by the 15-member group, it is very important for us to know what is the sense of the room in the GNSO to making that statement. And that is where Alan is critical, because not only is he our GNSO liaison, but he's been keeping careful track of the issues for us. So although, for example, I've been chairing the Who Is Working Group for some time, I don't believe I've ever done a statement that Alan was never a part of it, because it's just good sense to consult with Alan on these issues. Any issue that comes before the GNSO, or we expect is going to be a kerfuffle in the GNSO, we always get Alan involved. So, Murray, I hope that answers the question.
Thanks. Look, there's one final comment that our fearless leader would like to make.
Thank you very much, Holly. Just to add to what Carlton has just said, Carlton and Alan have worked very well together. The Who Is Working Group has worked well as well, and it really takes into account both substance and the environment in which the substance is being prepared. So effectively, it's very important to make sure that we are in line with what's going on in the GNSO. So that's really great. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're just out of time now. Assuming you wanted to briefly mention a conference, that's fine, but we are expected to head off for the board in about 2 minutes.
Half a second.
Sala, 30 seconds, and I'm starting to count.
Very quickly, Gough Bruin wrote a report on compliance's failure, which I will forward to the APRALU list. But a key thing that that has happened this year in March 2013 is the termination of a bulk Who Is Inaccuracy reporting program, which means if ALSs would like to complain about inaccurate Who Is, we're no longer able to do that pertaining to that. Anyway, what I would like to propose, and this is a motion to APRALU, is for to make a statement, and if APRALU votes yes, if we're for it, then if it could go to the ALAC, that's all I'd like to suggest.
Out of time. Assume.
Thank you very much. You may be aware of the something called AP Regional IGF. We have done that from Hong Kong, Singapore, Tokyo, and this year in September it will be in Seoul. Edmund YJ Park, who is not there, Honshe, Yanis, and many others are heavily involved, but we really need your participation. I gave you out the postcard, which is actually a call for proposal of the workshop. But you are also asked to contribute for the sub-theme or any other substantive issues, as well as we are working on the making more transparent organizational issues, and we really need your help, participation, or take over the whole thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Izumi. have you got a mobile with you? You could take a picture?
Can you take a picture with yours? Of all the ALSs that are here?
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. For those of us who are still here, we can always do a group picture. Just before we head off.
No, you can't be photoshopped in.
Are you going to finish this? Close this?
Sorry, can I just... Hi, this is Rinalia. As a follow-up to Izumi's announcement about the Asia-Pacific regional IGF, I just want to make sure that people around the room are also aware about the IGF that's happening in Bali, also around the same time, yeah? Thank you.
That's in October in Bali.
And we're going to the GAC.
You wanted a motion. I just think there's not time to actually consider that. Well, could you draft something and circulate it? Because we really don't have time because we're supposed to head out. Yeah, we have 1 minute. We can stand all in front of the two screens that Matt has so nicely done. No time to put on the lippy. Sorry.
What's a lippy?
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. My mentor here is thank you very much. First of all, thank you very much to the ICANN staff and to Matt and to Heidi. Thank you very much to the interpreters, please. And to the technical staff. Anybody else you want me to thank?
Thank yourself.
The chair. Yay.